Hi everyone, welcome to Downstairs History. On the podcast today, got Sir Ridley Scott. He's 83 years old. He's got more energy. He's busier. He's got more game than you and me put together. That's depressing, but true. He directed Alien, Blade Runner, Thelma and Louise, Gladiator, Black Hawk Down, The Martian. The guy is a card-carrying legend. He's been nominated for 3 Academy Awards. Just this year, he's released just the 2 films, The Last Duel and House of Gucci. He was born in 1937 in South Shields in County Durham, and now he's one of the most famous and celebrated directors of our era. It's a huge, huge excitement to have Ridley Scott on the podcast. If you have a certain age and that age is around 42, 43, Gladiator was a big part of your formative years. That's all. That's just a fact. And as I was watching it for the second time in a day, back in 1999, I never thought that one day I'd get a chance to interview Ridley Scott and ask him a few questions, exchange a bit of banter. But now I have, and it was worth the wait. That 20-year-old Dan would not be disappointed. That 20-year-old Dan would also be very grateful to you guys, because without all of you listening to this, I would not be in this position at all. Ridley's team would have looked at it and discarded it. Yes, they would have done. Instead, he came on History Hit podcast. What can I say? And that's all thanks to all of you folks for listening. Big thank you to everyone who subscribed. Lots of you took advantage of the Black Friday offer and subscribed. So we've got record numbers of people subscribing at the moment. We've got big plans for next year. A huge thank you to everyone. If you want to subscribe, you can still do so. Go to historyhit.tv. You get the world's best history channel. You also get all these podcasts without the ads. And I met a guy, he might be listening to this exact podcast. I met a guy a couple of days ago, and he said to me that he quite likes the ads, because when the ads come on, he listens to the podcast in the bath, and when the ad comes on, he tops up the hot water. That's what he says. So I guess that's good. Just don't tell the advertisers, all right? But if you want it without the ads, you go to historyhit.tv, and you sign up there, and you can join us for the adventure in 2022. It's going to be fun. In the meantime, though, everyone, speaking of adventures, here is Ridley Scott.
Let me ask you, are you in a fucking car? Are you in a cab?
Yes. Yes, I am in a car. It's a long story. I'm in a car in the car park of an ocean survival training center, because I'm going on an exciting history expedition and I've got to learn how to get into a life raft.
Really?
Yes. Yeah, no, I'm freezing my little backside off out here. But obviously, I got to get some privacy, because I'm talking to Ridley Scott. So I'm in the back of a car. Ridley, thank you very much for coming on the pod.
Thank you for asking me. Never thought you'd ask me.
Well, what can I say, man? Looks like you finally made the grade. Anyway, let's talk about this Gucci film. It's so rich. It's so spectacular. You went to Italy. You went in style. It looks like you had, it felt like you had a great time.
You know, that said, I enjoy it all. That's why I still keep doing it. And, you know, I feel very privileged to be able to still do it. And fortunately, I'm well enough and fit enough to keep going. So, and to me, you doing my job, you got to embrace stress. If you don't like stress, don't do my job.
Yeah, I can believe it. I mean, did it feel different making this movie? I mean, you went full Italy. You got Al Pacino, you got Lady Gaga, 2 classic Italian-Americans. The fashion, the operatic soundtrack. Did it feel different?
Well, you know, I usually get pretty good casts, and whenever you going into any subject new, you have no idea, of course, where it's going to go. And when on this one, because they're 2 very tricky characters to cast, which because of the scale of the budget, cannot naturally be anybody other than probably, unless this sounds terrible, but probably an American actor or certainly a top English actor to support the budget, right? So I was already working with Adam Driver on The Last Duel. And from that, while we were making The Last Duel, I said, Adam, I have a very good piece of material that you should read, because you may want to consider it. And he was surprised. I was asking, because we hadn't finished the other one first, but I need to get there quick, because these guys get snapped up. Then, of course, when I'd seen the Gaga or Stefania do the Star Is Born, when I knew I was already prepping, we're writing Gucci at that point, I was thinking that could be her. If she goes for it, that's her. So when we got the script, which I thought was honestly good enough to show, I sent it to her. That's it. So, you know, it's like putting your money on black. You're going to go for that and hope that they say yes. And that's what happened. Once you get those two, then I can go to Al Pacino, say, oh, will you play Aldo? And you just spread it around and ask him. That's all I do.
But it was so, it just felt so Italian. I mean, the performative smoking. Those guys give like a masterclass in smoking. But yeah, it was everything about the film. You just seem to embrace it.
Well, I mean, not only that, you're jumping into a period that we all probably adore, the 80s. And I mean, I've always had a good time, you know. So, and sometimes my good time has been too good. So I've actually had to rein in often. So I've had an interesting time. So I am a student of the 60s, 70s, and 80s. So I knew exactly what to do and where it was. So it was like digging out old memories and actually putting them on screen. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and then there was the, I loved the contemporary soundtrack alongside the opera. It was the clothes, it was the drinking, it was the cast. Hang on a minute. Also, it was the sex scene. Ridley. I mean, that was an intense sex scene. There were lads on stag nights. There were rugby players running out of the cinema, covering their eyes, shrieking at having to watch that sex scene.
Oh, well, I not only that, I think I planned the sex scene. You mean the one in the trailer? In her father's office?
Yeah.
So I said to her, this is going to go, this is where you two really come together. And I think Maurizio Gucci was probably at 21, a virgin. And she was not a virgin. She was, you know, was a girl about town. I don't mean she was extreme way, but she was, you know, she'd been around, had a few boyfriends. And so in a way, I think the first initial attraction by Maurizio to her would be the fact she was so attractive and would be the fact that she was a kind of free spirit, which meant she was pretty free with her sex with him. So, and I love the sex scene because when it evolved and it went on for about, I think, a couple of minutes, but as I was watching it, I think it was actually, it's opera. So I put on Puccini. So this on the sex scene, it becomes almost comical. And then it becomes satirical. And I think then you segue into church music, well, sex to marriage, of course. And then you get church music, which is the preamble for George Michael's thing, so you got to have faith. So I thought that was the perfect union of music and picture.
Yeah, I loved it. And as so often, you know, passionate sex to marriage, to deep unhappiness, and harboring murderous thoughts. There you go. That's the trajectory right there. But why this film, Ridley? How do you choose? How on earth do you, Ridley Scott, choose what you're going to make your next film about?
Well, first of all, I thought it was a kind of interesting, classy drama, because if you want to parallel it in any paralleling with the 15th century, 16th century family, like the Borgias or the Medici, same thing. There's self-destruct from the inside out. They turn themselves inside out and couldn't agree about anything and got destructive and murderous. And you find it hard to believe that could happen in the 20th century. And by God, it did. She lost it because she could not realize the murder occurred 6 years after the divorce. So she carried the hatred of how he'd actually destroyed the family business. It's not her business. And it wasn't hers to own, but she felt it was her life and her business and her daughter's life and business that he had destroyed and they'd lost it. So it was retribution. And it was extraordinary that she must have been obsessive. I'm amazed. I'm sure he did have her warned for harassment many, many times.
You listen to Dan Snow's History Hit. Talking to Ridley Scott. More coming up.
What did Tudor men like their women to look like?
They should have broad shoulders, fleshy arms, fleshy legs, and broad hips.
What did 17th century Londoners think of coffee?
A syrup of soot and the essence of old shoes.
And what did executioners wear?
A lot of these guys, they were clothes horses because it's a big public spectacle. All the eyes are on you.
I'm Professor Susanna Lipscomb, and in my podcast, Not Just the Tudors, we talk about everything from monasteries to the Medici sex to spying, wardrobes to witch trials. Not, in other words, just the Tudors, but most definitely also the Tudors. Subscribe from History Hit, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Don Wildman, and on American History Hit, my expert guests and I journey across the nation and through the years to uncover the stories that have made the United States. From first flight to first ladies, from stitching the Star-Spangled Banner to striking gold in California, to shooting for the moon with Apollo, we've got you covered. Catch new episodes of American History Hit, a podcast by History Hit, every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate the moms in your life? Aura frames are beautiful, Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving an Aura as a gift, you can even personalize the frame with preloaded photos and memories. And also remember, when using messaging apps, they shrink the photos. You cannot print those out. You cannot blow them up. This is high quality imagery going to one of the most important people in your life. The Aura app is super easy to set up. It takes about 2 minutes and you're going to love it. There's free unlimited storage, add unlimited photos and videos, and invite as many people as you want to a frame. Right now, Aura has got a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting auraframes.com to get $30 plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's auraframes.com. Use code DANSNOW at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Ridley, I think people listening to this podcast will obviously be a big fan of your science fiction, big fan of all your movies, but the history in particular is something that people will be so familiar with, whether it's Robin Hood or Gladiator, the seminal film of my student days. We used to watch a lot of Gladiator when I was at university. How do you choose a period, a story? How is your eye drawn to things?
Well, it can be modern. I mean, Black Hawk was something interesting. Hannibal was something interesting. People forget there's a good film called Black Rain, which was done in Japan. Thelma and Louise was interesting. I think they've all got a subtext of scale. And the Thelma and Louise was a subtext of scale and the rights, righteousness of women and how, you know, it was a very early Me Too statement, right? There's always a central fuse in the middle of all my movies which are worth exploring. And so it doesn't necessarily have to be about anything. People say, what's your plan? And I said, my plan is there is no plan. I tend to be like a child in a cot staring at the next toy thinking, oh, that's nice. It's a nice glittering red ball. And I'll go for the red ball.
And so when you've got a film like Robin Hood or Black Hawk Down or Gladiator, which kind of depicts events from history or history adjacent, what's your relationship like with history? What's your relationship like with the historical advisors? If they do you listen to them? Do you want to stay as close as possible to the original the story, or do you jettison it? Go, look, it's too boring. I'm taking the story in a different direction.
No, I think first thing is you get the history right. You get the history credible, and so even on the Roman epic, I tend to be again like a kid. I tend to look at picture books rather than reading pages of text. I look at a picture, and because I'm very visually driven and visually orientated, of a good piece of research information, which mostly is a lot of from paintings with history, normally looking at painting, particularly Bonaparte's history is covered brilliantly with many, many, many great painters. And the paintings are so interesting in terms of how each person and character in them are captured. They're clearly accurate. So Napoleon is so easy to research because you've got a mass of information. The Roman Empire, also, you've got a lot of information from history, from statues. I found all of Commodus' armor from a statue of a Roman emperor. In fact, it was Commodus in this elaborate armor. From that, Janti took that armor and created that armor. So you look at the real thing, and then from there, you then start to evolve the story. Because I think in terms of human behavior, people don't change that much. The big footnote on that is we simply aren't, we forget historical lessons we've learned and we keep repeating bad behavior. So we don't learn by history at all, which is shocking. The clothes change, the weapons change, we don't learn shit.
So you mentioned Napoleon. I'm thinking immediately of David's painting of him crossing the Alps on his rearing up horse. Is that what you're doing? Are you the modern version of David, except your paintings move and talk and last for hours?
Well, no. I mean, I think if I wasn't doing this, I'd be a painter. I'd be a painter or an architect. I'm a pretty good designer, and so it's all art, and I happen to evolved, well into the moving art form. But from moving art form, all my research is done from books, from every whatever source, it don't matter. And fortunately, I can really draw because of a very prolonged period at art school. I was 4 years provincial art school and 3 years at the Royal College, 7 years doctor's training. So I can really draw. So I plan the films. I draw them on paper. As we do it right now, I've been doing a doodle. See that? Can you see that? No. I doodle. I do lots of telephone doodles while I'm talking, and I draw all the time. It's a knee jerk thing. So when I'm reading a script, I'm constantly seeing it in my head, and then I'll draw it afterwards. From that, that will become an instruction sheet in picture form. So a storyboard can be almost 2 inches thick for a film.
Actually, just to come back to Gucci film for a second, it must be different. Is it different when there's people still alive today in your films, that the history that you're portraying is so recent? There'd be people alive who are depicted in that film who might watch it.
That is always a degree of respect, if you can, to bear in mind that thing. I've always thought that every time they do the Kennedy assassination, I thought it was kind of pretty insensitive because he was such a political savior and a political hope and a political hero. But when you murder your husband and you go to prison for tax evasion, I'm sorry, you are public domain.
Yeah. Well, you're public domain at that point. Tell me, what's next? What's the big story that you have yet to tell?
Well, I think it's been done many, many times. I was a big cowboy fan because I learned to ride early on. And so I was obsessed with wanting to be a cowboy. And I've never got to that. I'd love to do it. But the film I'm obsessed by, with all its inaccuracies, is based on a very good book by Alan LeMay called The Searchers. And of course, it's a big film in American culture and history with John Wayne. And what's interesting about it is it touches the entire story is about the apartheid, the fact that the girl is taken by the American Indians. Therefore, he's going to go after the girl. His intention is to then kill the girl because she's been with an Indian. So I think carries a marvelous edge to the cultural idea of the West. Because if you do the West, if you do a cowboy, to me, it should always be about man against the wilderness. I think when the West was fought and won, people were fighting the wilderness as well as the people who didn't like us there. And the people who didn't like us there were dead, right? Because we were going to fuck them up. So you've got a very powerful choice as to what that story will be. There's a character I love who is a great Indian scout who's called Kit Carson. And Carson in National Park, now there's a Kit Carson National Park, which is thousands of acres of marvelous pine forest. And he was a guy who, you know, began as a scout and an Indian fighter, then eventually fought to save the Indian culture and tried to make, as it were, their adjustment to where they were going to get put in the best possible way. So I like that idea of the thing that we did to the American Indian was just as bad as you can possibly imagine. And I want to like to get that as the subject of the movie.
What about the Second World War? Your dad was in the Royal Engineers, I think. You have Merchant Navy connections. I've got Merchant Navy connections as well. We're all still living in the shadow of that war. What's that war mean to you? And are you interested in working with the Second World War?
Well, I'm doing, funny if, yeah, we're doing something right now, which is about the Battle of Britain. I mean, a lot of stuff like that is done, and I think it should never be forgotten. So, and therefore, if it's repeated, God bless you, because we should never, ever forget. I'm a war baby. So I sat and got bombed every night in the Blitz because we were in London. And in London, my mum would take us, and we'd sit under the stairs because we've got a direct hit and make cocoa and sing Old MacDonald Had a Farm. That was it. And it was like in the morning, there'd be two houses missing on the street. And, you know, Mrs. Roberts got hit and Mrs. Smith got hit. And so then I was standing on a troop ship in Germany in 1947 with a little gas mask, a label in case I got lost. I was being sent to the Hook of Holland to be met by father's driver. My dad was a high up in the army, and I was sent over there with my elder brother, and we went to Germany. I lived in Germany from 1947-52. That's 18 months after the war, and then I was right there till 52 when we returned to England. And I think by being there and moving around in the schools, I was so backward academically. But those are the days where parents would go, you'll be fine, you'll catch up. And of course, there's no way you're going to catch up. So I was academically really backward when I can't return to England.
Don't beat yourself up about it, man. You can still do something with your life.
Yeah. No, well, I could draw. The one thing I could do was really draw. That's my savior.
Are you getting better as a director as you get older? Now you've got all this experience under your belt.
Yeah, you do. You do. Yeah, well, not so much necessarily better. I think you do. I think you refine process. You make decisions faster. I did Gucci in 42 days and we're $5 million under budget. I'm Lightning Lopez.
That's amazing. I mean, because that looks like a long film to make. It's a huge variety of locations and textures and places and people.
Now, there's a lot of naval studying in this business, and I think half of it comes because they don't know what they're doing.
You know exactly what you're doing, Ridley. Thanks so much for coming on. Everyone go and check out Gucci. It's a great film.
Great.
God bless you. Keep doing it, okay?
Thanks, man. And you. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I feel the hand of history upon our shoulders.
All this tradition of ours, our school history, our songs, this part of the history of our country, all were gone and finished.
Thanks, folks, for listening to this episode of Dance Notes History. As I say all the time, I love doing these podcasts. They are the best thing I do professionally. I feel very lucky to have you listening to them. If you fancied giving them a rating and review, obviously the best rating and review possible would be ideal. It makes a big difference to us. I know it's a pain, but we'd really, really be grateful. And if you want to listen to the other podcasts in our ever-increasing stable, don't forget we've got Susanna Lipscomb with Not Just the Tudors. That's flying high in the charts. We've got our medieval podcast, Gone Medieval, with the brilliant Matt Lewis and Kat Jarman. We've got The Ancients with our very own Tristan Hughes. And we've got Warfare as well, dealing with all things military. Please go and check those out wherever you get your pods.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Dan Snow's History Hit. Please follow this show wherever you get your podcasts. It really helps us and you'll be doing us a big favour. Don't forget you can also listen to all of these podcasts ad-free and watch hundreds of TV documentaries when you subscribe at historyhit.com/subscribe. As a special gift, you can also get your first 3 months for just £1 a month when you use code DANSNOW at checkout.